Massachusetts Trust, a nonprofit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, reincarnation, part two. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors inner sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. Now, the following thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. The new psychology must be built upon the premise that this one life is not an individual's sole opportunity to achieve integration and eventual perfection. When the great law of rebirth is accepted, it will be found to be a major releasing agent in any moment of crisis or any psychological problem. Now, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind as I read this quote is probably the greatest comfort that reincarnation or the thought of reincarnation can give me is the idea that I think one of my greatest fears, other than public speaking, is my fear of death. And I think
they're almost the same, aren't they?
Almost equal, but I guess that's why I fell into the role that
like
I'm in right now.
In
being up here at the microphone is probably my soul's attempt to overcome that fear of public speaking. But I haven't really overcome the fear of death. But yet, I have a feeling that reincarnation it could probably release from someone from the fear of death, and that could be great.
Yes.
Would you?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Well, yes. I'm not a psychologist, but I know some psychologists say that this fact that we die is the major conditioning factor behind what mobilizes us psychologically as human beings. And it gives us, I suppose, this intense desire to affirm the separated self, to affirm the ramparts of the individual isolated self, and to preserve its existence and affirm its well-being at the expense of anyone else who gets in our path. It's the cause of all aggression and bad behavior from the individual level to the group to the level of humanity. And if we could hold in mind and deeply believe in our hearts that there is no end to life, I'm sure it would modify our behavior. It would also release us from the illusion that we can have wrong relationships and not do anything about them. Get away with it, in a sense. Treat people badly. Ignore our responsibilities. Not pay our debts. Not fulfill our obligations. Because the idea of reincarnation suggests that every T has to be crossed and every I has to be dotted at some point or another.
Yes, it, as I think we've said before, there is this balancing out of energies that has to occur. And before the perfecting process can go on, and that's very necessary because until one is able to do this, one is just going to tread water and stay where you are. And you're not going to be able to move forward. So it's one's benefit that he or she takes stock of the things that need to be changed and bring that about now, in this lifetime. And so the psychologists have to grapple with this, but if they realize that there is another lifetime ahead of you, then maybe that can release a lot of the fear and a lot of the anxiety about dealing with problems right now.
Yes, if you know that you have more than just 40 and 10 years to get everything straight. I don't think it induces passivity so much as more patience. Patience with ourselves, patience with others, the realization that the way is very long and we should all help each other. There's an interesting statement in the books of Alice Bailey that there are three laws, she says, the law of rebirth, the law of love, and the law of group life, that hold the key to solving the world's problems. That's quite a blanket statement. But when you think about it, she's probably right. The law of rebirth, the law of love, and the law of group life. Our understanding of those holds the key to the solving of the world's problems.
We understand the law of rebirth and the law of love, but the law of group life is a little more obscure, I think. And we don't realize, perhaps, that we come into this world not just as an individual, but also as a group. We are part of a group. And I think one very graphic example of that can be seen is in the evidence of the baby boomers, what they call the baby boomers, those who were born right after World War II, from 1945 to around 1962. And so that there's a tremendous group of souls that have come into the world, incarnated into the world, all at the same time, relatively speaking. And you can see this group wave, in fact they call it the age wave, that has gone through their whole lifetimes, and that's affected the whole economy of this country and probably the culture and the culture and the quality of life has changed as this whole group of individual souls have grown up. And now they're beginning to face the retirement years in their lives, and this is affecting the health care. It's affecting old age homes and retirement communities. Mm-hmm. Growing up, and whole industries have grown up with this whole group of souls during this particular phase in our existence and life.
There's another group that I've always been curious about in terms of reincarnation and death. Years ago, there was a television series on PBS based on Vera's novel, Testament of Youth. She was the mother of Shirley Williams, a very prominent British politician who was one of the founders of the Liberal Party, I think, maybe 10 or 20 years ago. That was a novel and a program about the massive number of deaths of young men in World War I. When some huge percentage of Britain's population alone was eliminated by death in the war, so that they really lost a whole generation of young men. And of course this affected the young women who would have found them as husbands and so on, and life partners. And I have often wondered about that removal of such a massive number of people all in the same generation. What happens to them? We don't know. But the law of group life is fascinating to ponder.
Well, I think it's in the writings of Alice Bailey, it mentions that so many people that get caught up in the tragedy of a war, it's kind of a group responsibility, a group exit. And as you know, during World War II, there, in that period of years, there was something like, 50 million people, souls, that mm-hmm. departed. And so it's a tremendous group in itself right there that will be have a karma that have to come back and work out.
One important point about reincarnation that I think needs more emphasizing in people's understanding is that it's something that Alice Bailey refers to as the pulsating life of deity. The pulsating life of deity. And she likens it to the breathing in and breathing out process of divine existence and of all manifestation. I find that a beautiful image to reflect on. And again, it it expresses the periodic, cyclic nature of life. Too often we think of reincarnation as kind of snapshots, each of them different from another. In one lifetime I was such and such, in another lifetime I was so and so. And we don't see the vast and sweeping continuity of the life of the soul, which is carried out over a period of many, many lifetimes. The soul's plan is vast, and this particular lifetime for each one of us is just a blip on its screen, as I understand it.
Right. And some lives are more important than others for mm-hmm. the souls, from the standpoint of the soul, because I think there is certain qualities that the soul is trying to work out mm-hmm. and express, and like the quality of love, for example. That's one of the great laws that that govern the whole existence on Earth here. And in fact, in throughout the universe. But the soul is attempting to express this greater love as a way of serving the plan of God, because that is the requirement in the plan of God right now, that the emphasis should be on the expression of love in the world. And so the soul attempts to build upon the qualities that previously in previous lives were accomplished. And life after life, it, I guess, continues to chip away at the old incrustations that keep the expression of love from shining out.
Yes, not every life has the same opportunities as another life might. I know it's said that some lives are basically spent clearing the decks for the future. In other words, taking care of obligations and debts and responsibilities that have to be met so that in the future the soul can initiate a new cycle, so to speak. Other lifetimes for some individuals are really new moments, new opportunities in the life of the soul where fresh ground is being tilled, so to speak. And I suppose each of us could reflect on where we think we stand in our soul's unfoldment of its plan. It's very difficult to know, but it might explain some of the frustration that some of us feel that things aren't moving along faster, or that circumstances aren't such that we could realize what we really think is our goal. It might not be the goal of the soul at this particular time. It might lie in the future. Maybe the frustration of the present lifetime is due to our need to meet certain obligations that have to be dealt with, and we should be at peace with it. These are interesting points to ponder on.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, reincarnation, part two. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. And in essence, what you'll find, the soul, the higher self or individuality, is the guiding force within every human being. Through the law of rebirth or reincarnation, the soul returns to manifestation, life after life, for purposes of service to the plan. So you'll be able to explore the topic that we're talking about today, reincarnation, in greater depth if you purchase the book, The Soul, The Quality of Life by Alice Bailey. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's available for $16. What you need to do if you want to have this book, The Soul, The Quality of Life, is ask for the book, write a little notation saying that you heard about the offer on the program Inner Sight. So you'll send a check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So once again, you'll ask for the book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. Send your $16 check or money order to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason whatsoever, give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. And the easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. And if you key into our website, you'll find a lot of interesting information about Lucis Trust. And one of the primary reasons people seem to key into that website is to listen to our previously archived library of radio shows, and we've got numerous radio shows archived on the website, hundreds, I think, at this particular point, so you'll be able to, if you miss a show, you'll be able to listen and catch up. This is Inner Sight, and our topic today is reincarnation. You know, last time we met, we were talking about an idea that you set forth that I thought was very interesting, Sarah. It was about the three seeds, and it had to do with reincarnation, and I found myself riveted to that particular idea when you were speaking about it, but it was so new to me. I'd like you to recap that and tell us about the three seeds, which yes, somehow relate to reincarnation.
Yes, it has to do with the link, obviously, between reincarnation and death. It's all really part of the same process, the pulsating life of deity, as Alice Bailey expressed it, the breathing in and breathing out of spirit as it expresses through a human being. We are born, we live, we give up the physical vehicle, we retreat to the plane of the soul until we return again in a new body. And this process of reincarnation ending in death leads to a moment, Alice Bailey says, where the individual, no matter how ordinary and perhaps even unevolved that person might be, has a clear face-to-face, we could say, encounter with his soul, where he becomes completely aware of himself as the soul, even if only briefly for a moment. He's freed of the brain, which for most of us is a poorly serving instrument in terms of bringing through higher knowledge, awareness of the inner planes of life. It enables us to balance our bank account and meet our physical obligations, hopefully, but it's not so good at bringing through the higher realizations. And when we're freed of the brain with the death of the body, there's a more direct contact between the soul and the individual. And she says that at that moment, the individual sees the experience of the whole past incarnation spread out before him like a map, and that he identifies or isolates the three major conditioning factors in the life that has just passed, because these three major factors hold the keys to what the future incarnation will be. She calls them seeds, and she says that seed one determines the nature of the physical environment and conditions the required field of contact, so to speak, for the next incarnation. It conditions the physical environment, and I suppose the physical body determines what kind of body the soul will choose to inhabit, what assets, attributes, and perhaps liabilities it will have. Seed two, she says, will determine the quality of the etheric body, which is the energy body, the subtle component that substands the physical body. This quality will determine which ray forces of the seven rays can make contact through this individual, and this will determine which of the seven centers in that individual, which of the seven chakras, will be most active in the next incarnation. And she says seed three gives the key to the emotional body, and this seed is what brings the individual into relationship again with those people he had previously been bound to through deep love or sadly through hatred, because wherever we love or hate, we have a bond. So these three factors or three seeds are identified by the soul at the moment of death as the major conditioning events in the life, and they determine the equipment or the vehicles that the soul will work through in the next lifetime. I find it fascinating.
Yes, it is, it also brings up the point that often there is a recapitulation at the beginning of the life. And the early part of one's life, there tends to be a repeat of perhaps, I don't know if the exact experiences, but since one is perhaps drawn back to that a particular family group or a particular ethnic group or religious group.
Or habits or talents.
Yes, and there is apt to be a recapitulation so that there is no break in the continuity from life to life to life. And a certain qualities and certain characteristics or certain experiences are recapitulated for perhaps the first 20 years of one's life. And then after that, as one becomes an adult and begins to think and plan for him or herself, then they go off and do what the next phase is required.
That's a very interesting point, because children will have certain attributes or talents or predispositions. But I suppose that means one shouldn't necessarily assume that those talents and predispositions are what that child should continue to develop in this lifetime. He may be recapping something gained from the past, but it doesn't mean that that necessarily will chart the course he should take in this lifetime, if you follow me. I think the line of least resistance in terms of our habits and customs and preferences isn't always the best line in terms of the soul. The soul may want to break new ground in this lifetime.
And it usually does in, the later on in life. Mm-hmm. And one gets through the early education years, and then he or she is off doing her, finding their job and their way in life and marriage and children and all that.
You go off on some toot like you do.
Yes, and then you go off on something completely different from the early part of your life. And you find yourself in a different company of people or different relationships. And so new qualities are ahead of you and being worked out.
There's a lot of unpredictability, obviously, to any human being, and we shouldn't approach the doctrine of reincarnation as a way of getting a key to figuring out anyone, including ourselves. I think there's a certain mystery to the human experience that should always allow for surprises and small miracles, as well as those disasters we're so familiar with. But it does help us to understand some of the big questions in life and some of the puzzles that explain the inequities, seemingly, of people.
Yes, and if we can see it from the standpoint of the soul, this is the important thing. If we can see this whole thing about reincarnation and the law of rebirth from the standpoint of the soul, try to look beyond your own little self and see what your spiritual self has intended, and what the intent and what its plans are, what it's trying to work out in this particular lifetime.
Yes, if we see that life is ceaseless and enduring, then it's even more vivid for the soul when it's freed from the restraints and the limitations of the physical body. Reincarnation is return to a physical body, and that is both a limitation and a field of experience and service for the soul. And the ultimate destination or point of this whole repeated process of life after life is to bring about a synthesis of the spirit or pure father aspect and the soul, which is conscious awareness of our essential divinity. That's the goal of the evolutionary process as far as humanity is concerned. And every incarnation takes the soul a step further toward that realization. I like the image of a photographic negative being developed, where slowly in darkness the image comes through. And that's sort of what happens with the soul's repeated incarnations. Slowly the manifestation of its pure spiritual essence comes into vivid manifestation. The rituals of the funeral customs sort of hint at some of these ideas, but without probably really understanding them. Earth to earth and dust to dust, we say. That's the restitution you're talking about, the return of matter to its appropriate place when the soul gives up the body and returns to the pure spiritual component that essentially is. It'd be nice if we could get to the point where we realize that this order to restore, in other words, to release matter and return to pure spirit, is given by the soul at the moment of birth and the moment of death. It's chosen by the soul.
Please take advantage of our special offer, the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. And if you purchase that book, you'll be able to explore today's topic in greater depth. So what you need to do is send a check or a money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. And that's a check or money order, $16. Ask for the book, the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life, and send your check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.